Welcome back to another episode of The Political Life. Today, we are bringing on a guest who has been a guest in the past, Sat Alledi. He used to be at Allstate. He is has made a career change. And we're going to talk to him about that and find out kind of why he did it, what his thinking was, what the process was like. And, you know, he went from inside, in-house, to a firm. So, Sat, welcome to the show. Welcome back.
Thanks so much for having me, Jim. And I remain a loyal listener, as I have in the past 2 years since I first appeared on the show. And appreciate the opportunity to join you today.
Well, it's great to have you back. So before we jump into leaving your former employer, Allstate, to the firm you're at now, let me start off by asking, how is you worked for Senator Tim Scott prior to being at Allstate. How is the senator doing, and what's going on with him? And obviously, I'm asking indirectly what his plans are.
Yeah, you know, Senator Tim Scott, best boss I ever had. I remain a strong supporter of him. It's interesting, you know, he's up for re-election to the U.S. Senate in South Carolina. He's actually declared it'll be his last time that he runs for the U.S. Senate. So this will be the second full 6-year term that he would win in the U.S. Senate. As you can imagine, in a red state of South Carolina, and where he polls as the most popular elected official in the state, he is well favored to win re-election there. Although I know he's not taking things for granted. But obviously everyone has eyes to the future, and the senator has made himself a well-known figure in states like Iowa and New Hampshire. I had the opportunity to actually be out in Iowa recently in the Cedar Rapids, Iowa City area, where Senator Scott made an appearance on behalf of Congresswoman Ashley Hinson, one of the House Republicans running for re-election. And I got to tell you, Jim, it was Senator Scott and a crowd of maybe 750 Iowans, and he had them on their feet at the end in terms of, you know, everything we see wrong coming out of the Biden administration. So, you know, he's written a book, he's making TV appearances, he's in Iowa and Manchester. I mean, these are the steps that many folks go through before they run for president, and I think the senator could bring an optimistic vision for America to the Republican Party, to the country, should he choose to run for higher office. So I'm hopeful. We'll obviously have to see in 2023 what happens.
Yeah. Well, thanks for that update. And I think you're right. People are definitely keeping an eye on him and what he does. And so now back to you. You have made the leap. Tell us first, when you had, you know, has this been kind of in the back of your mind for a while, or did something happen? What made you think, I think I want to leave being in-house to being at a firm?
Sure. And, you know, for the listeners, I'd been in-house at Allstate for 4 years as the Director of Federal Affairs and Public Policy. So the company's top government affairs representative in Washington, D.C., reporting to a head of all government affairs at the company's headquarters in Illinois. And it was a great 4-year run. I have no complaints. I mean, Allstate gave me plenty of opportunities to join nonprofit boards and to speak at public engagements. The company certainly had enough political resources in order to build relationships on both sides of the aisle. And just the opportunity to represent a Fortune 100 brand, a household name. I mean, there is not a single member of Congress or congressional staffer who does not know Allstate. I can't tell you how many of my meetings started with, you know, a member of Congress telling me that they were a policyholder, or, you know, their dad used to be an agent, or some other kind of story like that. So it was a wonderful ride for 4 years. But I think there were really two kind of precipitating factors towards the end of my tenure. The first being the desire to do something a little bit more entrepreneurial in my career. And as you know, the multi-client or contract lobbying world, a big part of that is business development. A big part of that is the need to go out, sign clients, right? Bring in new business, really kind of sell yourself almost as the product to people who are looking for assistance in the government affairs world. And with that comes the reward of, you know, more compensation, more work, right? I mean, it's just a kind of tie between, hey, I'm going to go out and put my effort into this, and then I'm going to see it reflected in, you know, directly in my reward for my work. That's very different than the normal corporate job. And I think that's something that I'm really looking forward to in this new chapter of my career. And that also comes with the ability to do a lot of different issue areas. You know, I love the insurance world. It's what I worked on a lot during my time in government. But my goodness, when you wake up day after day and you're hammering on the same issues, the same issues, the same issues, after 4 years, you want a bit of, you want a bit of spice, you want a bit of variety in what you're working on, and multi-client offers that opportunity. So that was kind of one big bucket, but one big factor I thought of. The second, you know, and for people who follow K Street or Washington, D.C., you know, it's kind of a tried and true path. But as the folks that you have relationships with are elevated to certain positions in government, you know, you might be able to provide value to clients in a different way than you had. And I think over the past 4 years, I made some great relationships with, you know, who were junior members of Congress who are going to be assuming certain positions of influence in our government should Republicans take over the majority. And then obviously my former boss, it's no secret, is due for the top Republican position on the Senate Banking Committee, whether that be chairman or ranking member. So in that sense, it also it made it a good time for me to try going multi-client.
And as you began to look at the landscape, and we'll get to your firm and have you talk about your firm, you clearly had many, my guess is many different options that you could pursue. So what were you looking for in the firm that you wanted to end up, and or was there something you wanted to try to avoid?
So there were kind of two factors I looked at. First was the size of the enterprise that I would be going to. And then the second was really the political makeup and reputation. So I'll talk about size first. You know, the near universal advice I got was not to go to a mega or super large firm. I mean, I was kind of told, first of all, you're going to be mostly servicing other partners' clients with very little in terms of business development, or very little reward for any business development that you do. And that also you would get lost in the shuffle. You know, you're the seventh guy or gal on the account, you know, at some of these bigger firms. So I thought about that. I took that into account. And that's not to say that I don't respect some of the larger firms that are in this world, but that was definitely something that kind of stuck with me. But on the other end of the spectrum, you know, in lobbying, you have the opportunity to go out and basically say, you know, I'm Sottoletti LLP. That's it. I am the brand. I'm the business. I'm, you know, working out of my townhouse and
that's a pretty good brand.
Yeah, I would hope so. But, you know, that's you do see that a lot in the lobbying world, especially when people have, I think, reached a certain point in their career where they're confident in the network that they have, or they've had a certain position in government that gives them a very unique skill set. So that's kind of the other end of the spectrum, right? You can either go mega lobbying law firm with hundreds, if not thousands, of practitioners to I'm just one guy working out of my basement. And that seems to have required a high risk tolerance that maybe I wasn't at a stage in my career to hurdle over. So I kind of determined that the right answer was somewhere in between those two extremes, and probably closer to the sole practitioner, in the sense that I wanted a smaller firm. I wanted a small team, somewhere I could make an impact, and quite frankly, a firm that was focused on its growth trajectory and really has room to expand. So that was kind of one of the decisions I made early in the process. And then the second element, you know, political makeup and reputation. It became very clear to me that it was important that I go somewhere that had a real bipartisan reputation, bipartisan team. you know, I think the model of the partisan firm is already dying in Washington, D.C., and many have commented that we have a lot less of those around today. If you look at firms like, you know, Heather Podesta's outfit, Invariant, if you look at firms like BGR, I think 15, 20 years ago, they were associated with one party or the other. But now, you know, have government affairs professionals on both sides of the aisle. But it was important to me that where I would go would, number one, have strong Democrats that I could work with, learn from, utilize to help clients. And then, quite frankly, a firm that if I'm sending a meeting request to some of my Democratic contacts, that I'm not going to get an eye roll or a visceral reaction. And that was one of the great benefits of being in-house at Allstate for 4 years, the opportunity to work with, you know, congressional Democrats, congressional staff who, you know, I think the vast majority are great patriots who are working on behalf of the country. So that kind of revealed itself to be important. So I definitely went for a bipartisan firm that also bicameral. So Senate and House expertise in addition to administration. That was important to me.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. It's a lot of sense. Kind of middle-sized firm, entrepreneurial opportunity, you know, working both the Senate and the House and bipartisan. That makes a lot of sense. And so now tell us about Federal Hall Policy Advisors is the name of the firm, correct?
Absolutely, yes. Federal Hall Policy Advisors, otherwise known as Fed Hall.
Fed Hall, okay.
Fed Hall is the nickname. You can check us out at www.fedhall.com.
Okay.
We are actually named after, I don't know if you've checked it out before, Jim, but it's the Federal Hall building. It's 26 Wall Street, right in New York City. But this is a building that it was actually rebuilt at one point in time, but it's existed one way, shape, or form since 1703. This is the building that was actually one of the first hosts of the U.S. government. You know, the Articles of Confederation were ratified here. It was hosted the first Congress. It was actually the building that George Washington was sworn in as the nation's first president. It was then demolished and then rebuilt in the 1800s and then became a focal point for U.S. commerce, as you can imagine, being right in Wall Street. So, you know, the firm's tagline is where capital meets the capital, which I love. But we named the firm after Federal Hall in, you know, it's kind of the intersection of government and business for the country. So, you know, small firm, by most standards, founded in 2017. Founders include two of my principals, Cliff Roberti and Doug Nappe. Both are Long Island natives, both are long-term Hill aides, both on the Senate and the House side, who largely specialize in financial services, which is what I spent my career in government in. So I'm the sixth lobbyist to join the firm as a partner. We have seven employees, so you know, compared to some of the larger firms you can think of, we're scrappy, but plenty of room to grow. And over 30 clients at the firm in just 5 years, approximately $5 million in lobbying revenue. So I think the most important thing I thought of before joining these guys and gals at Federal Hall, you know, I just the level of respect and the relationship I have with everyone at the firm. I mean, I knew all six of the existing employees. I had worked with all of them for years. And I really worked with them in two different facets of my career. So Fed Hall represents Allstate as a client. So Fed Hall was actually one of my consulting firms that I relied on for 4 years in this position. And, you know, getting to see them from the client side, you get to see, you know, what level of performance do they have? What level of expertise do they bring to the table? And, you know, bar none, they were fantastic representatives for Allstate, you know, knowledgeable, honest, accountable, responsive, which is what anyone wants out of a government affairs professional. And I really appreciated just the deep relationships they had in both parties. You know, all the way from the staff assistant sitting at the front of the congressman's desk to the congressman himself, right? And I think in lobbying, that's important. So really great client service for 4 years, great guidance for me as a you know, if you remember, Jim, when I told you 2 years ago, it was my first lobbying job, my first corporate job, my first management job. So I did need that support that they provided. But then if you go back before Allstate and think about my time in government, the lobbyists at Fed Hall have been lobbying me. They lobbied me since 2014. The founder, Clifford Birdie, is actually one of the first lobbyists I ever worked with in my entire career. And this is when I was a communications director for Congressman Ed Royce of California, desperately trying to establish my credibility in the legislative world. This is kind of the stage of my career where I knew I wanted to move into policy, move out of communications. And, you know, I got a lot of skepticism anytime I handed over my communications director business card to lobbyists that either came into the office or were the legislative director said, hey, work with this guy over here. Cliff was not one of them. Cliff was just immediately like, hey, you know, I've been told this is the lead staffer on the project, so I'm going to work with this communications director on these legislative projects. And he was literally one of the first people that ever took me seriously in my career. And I remember that 8 years later. So and there were other other partners, other folks at the firm who, again, I've worked with in my time in government, too. So, you know, when it comes to going multi-client, especially if you're going to a smaller operation, I think trust is so important when you're going into business with folks. And those are the people you want to have on your team. So that was a big part of why I went with Fed Hall.
Well, and you could see how they operated. That's a great story, how you first met him. And you could see how they operated over the years, how they managed, you know, you and your company, you know, how they got things done. So it's, you know, you clearly have a very good understanding of the firm that you're joining and the quality of their work. So that's great. And you can also, you've also probably seen close up, you know, a little bit of what their world is like, how they, you know, what they have to do to take care of, you know, when you were there, Allstate's issues and set up meetings and so forth and so on. So it's very interesting how you describe that. You, you kind of got to watch as they were working on your behalf, kind of see them in action.
And you're talking to me, we're recording this on what is my eighth day in this new position. And I will tell you, day number seven, which was yesterday, that was one of those days that I had as a consultant where I just saw, man, the multifaceted angles of the job where it's, you know, almost every hour you're doing something different. It really reminded me almost of what a members of Congress calendar looks like, where it's like every hour you're basically, you know, you're doing something very different. And I got the full taste of the multi-client life and grind, if you will. So nothing but respect for folks who do it for a profession. As I'm starting, I've realized it is a lot of work. You really have to stay on your toes. Client responsiveness is obviously very valued. And man, you have to just be able to switch into, you know, different issues, different tasks at the drop of the hat.
Well, that's great, Saad. And we very much appreciate you coming on so early in your job. We wanted to get kind of a, before you got too far into it, kind of what it was like, you know, leaving, being in-house and starting at a new firm. We very much appreciate Fed Hall allowing you to come on and give our listeners that perspective. So we wish you all the best, and we'll have to have you back on in a year and see how it's going.
That sounds like a plan, Jim, and really appreciate your time today.
Well, and to our listeners out there, remember you can follow us on social media, on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And you can also sign up for our email at politicallife.net. And we hope you all have a great week, and we will see you next Friday.